I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Digital Dave.
And you're still listening to Hot Start, believe it or not.
Your choice.
Yep.
Anyway.
From the International Federal Pavilion, we have Al Knox with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. We see that you have a shirt that says Search and Rescue. It doesn't say Get Lost, though. That's your sticker.
That's our sticker. That's right.
Yeah, I have
Get
one
Lost,
of them.
Support Search and Rescue.
That's yeah. right.
Yes, I'm from the Search and Rescue Satellite Aided Tracking Program. I'm actually the acting program manager right now.
Okay.
And we're here, as we try to be every year, supporting the International Federal Pavilion and trying to educate aviators. This is our largest outreach event for obvious reasons. And educate them and make sure that they have an ELT on board. We'd prefer they have a 406 megahertz ELT. We offer a capability to come check their registration, which they register with NOAA, and see if it's updated, and just here to talk about the system and what it provides to aviators, mariners, and outdoorsmen.
Okay, let's talk about your operations. How are you notified that you need to go look for one for someone? Who makes that decision to call you guys in?
So the way our system works is, we'll keep it to aviators because we're at an aviation show. So the beacons are designed to go off automatically in case of an accident. They can also be triggered manually. Once they are activated, they go through our system. It is hands-free. The first place that an alert is touched in our system is by somebody in a rescue coordination center around the United States, either the Coast Guard or the Air Force. They will do a preliminary investigation. Hopefully the beacon is registered, which again is free of charge. That registration information is protected. It's only shared, the only people we're authorized to share it with other than the beacon owner are rescue forces when that beacon goes off. The rescue forces, either the Coast Guard or the Air Force in the United States, will do that preliminary investigation and determine if a distress exists, and then they'll marshal whatever forces they need. So we're really the communication service provider. We get the distress alerts to the people that have jurisdiction for wherever you're sitting when that beacon goes off.
Okay. Now, I understand, some of the new 406 beacons will give you GPS coordinates as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I don't know of any that don't have a GPS chip anymore or can take a feed from your COMNAV system in your airplane.
Right. So that's got to make life easier.
It certainly does. Our system is what we call belt and suspenders. If the beacon finds itself and reports to us a GPS coordinate, that's great. If for some reason it's in a situation where it can't get GPS, we can still determine where you are through different triangulation procedures, depending on which satellite system. And right now we have three satellite systems all looking for these beacons. So we can find it either way. That's the way the system was built in 1983, and that's the way we continue to operate it.
How long would you say it takes from a beacon activation to dispatch of rescue forces?
So that's a complicated question. Notification is very fast. Typically, but it's when your beacon goes off, in less than a minute, somebody has that alert. It then becomes a function of how fast can they get forces marshaled, how long does it take to get to the situation. So again, we make sure that the stress alert is sent to the people that have to make that decision. But then it's kind of out of our hands, because it's a function of, you know, if your beacon's going off in the middle of the Atlantic, it might take some time for the Coast Guard to get someone there. If you've gone down in the mountains of Colorado, it may take time for rescue forces to get there. The point is, somebody will know you're in distress and some kind of response will be taking place.
Is there a verification process where you look at the beacon and you look at the coordinates and you go, yeah, that's an airport? And then you realize he probably just bounced it hard on a landing and we don't need to do anything yet.
Yes, absolutely. The rescue personnel at the Coast Guard and the Air Force, as I said, they have a a limited period of time to do that investigation. And they get really good. I sat in the chair at the Air Force Rescue Coordination Center for about 15 years before I moved on to do, you know, other things in our program. They typically have 1 hour, similar to a golden hour. They have an hour to determine that a non-distress exists. 406 alerts in our national SAR system are always considered a distress, just because of the way they're designed, the way they operate, the fact that we have information about them, and they're much more reliable than the old beacons. So typically, within that hour, if you can determine it's a non-distress, then you don't have to send anybody. But if you get to that hour, and you've made calls, you've looked at it, you've called the airport, then you've got to get somebody out.
Okay. I had to laugh the other day. I was walking by, and I saw CAP cadets on a golf cart with the antenna.
Yes,
looking
sir.
Looking for ELTs.
Yep. The Air Force Rescue Center in Tyndall every year opens what they call a precautionary mission on here at Oshkosh. They work with CAP. They're typically up toward the Warbirds area. You know, they have their Blue Beret Academy, and they put a team out here so that if there's hard landings, they can get those ELTs shut off right away, and that precautionary mission pays bonus for the AFRCC because they don't have to keep sending out teams. They have a team right here, and they can get them silenced right away.
Okay. As a pilot, how do I? What can I do to guarantee my beacon is in good health?
So, first thing you do is register it with NOAA. That allows you to put your name, up to 4 points of contact, where you keep the aircraft, and it gives you the ability, if you're going out flying, you can put, you know, a rudimentary flight plan in there and say, you know, from the 21st of July to the 28th of July, I'm going to be flying to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And you can update that literally almost to the minute. So that provides the greatest data. And then usually twice a year, run the self-check on your ELT. The FAA has a one-year, you know, an annual inspection, right? But we've built a self-test function in there that you can go in and self-test that beacon. It'll run through all its checks. It'll actually send a burst to the satellite. It flips 2 bits. So we get it, but we don't process it like an actual alert.
Right.
And if you get the indications on your beacon that the self-test went fine, then you're good to go. You don't have to do anything else.
But so you're saying that it'll send the test burst up to you, but you don't, as a pilot, you don't know if it, you guys received that test burst, or can you talk back to that?
Not with the current technology.
Right.
Not with the current technology. We are working at the international level to put in what we call two-way communications, so that if you activate your beacon, the rescue forces will be able to send some canned messages back and forth. They can ask you some questions. You'll be able to answer them with a series of canned messages. So that technology is coming. Currently, in some beacons, they have what's called a return link service. That's primarily through our partner Galileo satellites. And what that does is when your alert is received, we send a message to our colleagues in France. They upload it into the navigation signal, comes back to your beacon, and it gives you an indication that your alert has been received. Not that rescue forces are on the way, but that somebody knows your beacon is going off.
Right, right. So the biggest piece of advice you're going to give pilots is stay with the beacon.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Don't walk away from the aircraft.
No, you know,
unless
get
you
clear.
Absolutely have to.
Yeah. Get clear of the aircraft if you can take your beacon with you. But yeah, we'll be looking for that beacon.
Now that begs a question. Will the beacon update its location if you're hiking out?
Yes. Depending on the type of beacon.
Okay.
If you have a PLB or an EPIRB, which some pilots that fly over water like to carry the maritime beacon, and you're carrying it with you, it will continue to give us updates as long as that beacon is on.
Okay. How has things like Spot and the other flight trackers changed your mission? Has it made it easier?
Well, it hasn't. It hasn't, again, from a NOAA perspective, from a big program perspective, it hasn't changed what we do. We just keep doing what we're doing with 406. We think that is the gold standard. But it certainly has affected the rescue forces because that's more feeds that they get. And frequently, some of those don't go to the recognized SAR authority for that area. They'll go to 911 dispatch, and they'll notify. And so it complicates things. But they're all tools. They're all tools to use. And if that's what you choose to use, they have some added features that we don't have. So,
you know,
the rescue forces will tell you, you use what you're comfortable with, and that's the bottom line. You have to be comfortable with whatever you're using.
How many rescue guys? I mean, what's an average year look like? 100, 200, 500?
Actual rescues?
Yeah.
We average about 400 saves from our system a year.
That's one, more than one a day.
Yes, sir. That's more than one a day. And we only count it as a save if our system was the first indication of a distress or the only indication of distress. So if you fire it off, if you call Mayday, if you're a boat and you're sinking, you call Mayday and you fire off your beacon, the Coast Guard gets the Mayday first, that's an assist for us, but that's not a save. But if the beacon signal is the only thing the Coast Guard got, that's a save.
Wow.
So we're very, very circumspect about what we count.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us.
Yep. We've been listening to Al Knox here with SARSAT. So by all means,
stop
don't keep
at the
him.
International Federal Pavilion
right.
and talk to him.
Talk to him. Don't keep him busy. Do not get lost. This is Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
And this is EAA Radio.